This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We want to go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We welcome in one of the finest that we've ever talked to, one of our buddies, and certainly one of Les's friends. Bud Shaw joins us on the show this morning. Bud, thanks for joining us this morning. Although it being under circumstances none of us wanted to really talk about, but still a celebration of Les Levine's life and his career, my friend.
Yeah, guys. You know, I go pretty far back with him, obviously. I got here in 91, and I really only knew of him for a few years when, you know, I would listen to his show and he would have Tony Grossi and Ed Meyer on, you know, during the Belichick years, and, you know, coined them, I believe, unless they coined themselves, but doom and gloom. You know, there was another point where he was so taken with Bill Livingston's vocabulary, and rightly so, that he came up with the Bill Livingston word of the day on his show. So, you know, it was stuff that he always tried to look at the amusing side of things, you know, and tried to have fun with things. And as much as he, you know, he lived for Cleveland sports and wanted to see the teams do well and didn't in the Browns case for so long, you know, he was really kind of an eternal optimist. You know, if you talk to him at any point about the Indians or the Browns, especially, you know, he would find a positive in what he thought their season could be, you know, and he felt the same way about Baker Mayfield. In the last few shows we did, he kept talking him up and saying, we waited all this time for a quarterback. Now people aren't happy with the one we have, you know. And granted, this was earlier in the season when Baker was struggling. So I've known over the last month that he was struggling, that Les was struggling with his health. And I'm just glad that you know, that it didn't drag out longer than it did.
Bud Shaw with us, sharing his thoughts on Les Levine. Really a great one. We use the term mentor, and I think sometimes it gets overused in this business, but Buddy certainly was. And, you know, as so many shows that we have been a part of with him, and I watched the chemistry that you guys had over the years. It was, you know, clear as day. To me, what was always great is just the timing, how easy he was to work with. I could just show up 1 minute before the show. Ken Carmen knows the feeling, obviously. I could just show up, and it would be like we wouldn't miss a beat at all. And I always thought that was the same way with the two of you. Didn't you always feel that it was just like a different dynamic when you're doing a show with Les?
Yeah, you know, and he and I, you know, back a few years back before he started having health issues, you know, we used to play golf together probably a half a dozen times, maybe 10 times a year. And some of the things that we would just laugh about with shots that he would hit that were just these outrageously bad shots. And he would just be so amused by it again, not frustrated. You know, I just always had a great comfort level with him. You know, I don't think I'm out of school in telling this story that after he was admitted to the hospital, about 3 weeks ago, you know, there was some concern that he wasn't responding great. And his daughter, Jamie, had called from Indianapolis. And, you know, to that point, Les hadn't been – he hadn't been real communicative for a couple of days. He was in and out of sleep. And when she got on the phone, she said, you know, Dad, are you comfortable? And he said, I make a living. You know, so that's when people in the family started thinking, hey, maybe he's going to come out of this, because that sounded like the old Les. You know, it was when people called the show and they had some cockamamie idea for a how come quickie, and the thing just dragged on, and you could just see his eyes light up, and he would wait until they're finished and say, they're called quickies, sir. You know, so those are the things that I'm trying to keep in mind today, is how much we laughed together on the show and on the golf course.
Yeah, just one other thing for me, Bud. I always think about the fact that when I first started watching and listening to Les Levine, how he kind of developed that round table, the having experts in the field. Like Hal Lebovitz was one of his go-tos. And it meant a lot to me that I would be on a show years later, and that spanning decades, Les could do a show with Hal Lebovitz, but then he could do a show with me, then he could take a call from a kid. Like, I always thought that was really powerful, that he could bridge all these decades of memories in Cleveland sports, and that it always kind of came back to him, and that he was able to play traffic cop for something like that. I always thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. I mean, I saw him do, you know, interviews when he would have, you know, guys on who had written books and who, you know, it was left unsaid that, you know, these weren't bestsellers. Oprah wasn't touting these books, you know. But you know, it was important to Les to get, you know, Cleveland guys who were doing that kind of stuff, whether it was a book or a sports column or whatever. It was important to him to get them on the air and talk to them and let them talk about their work and all that. And that's the one thing I always really appreciated, is that, you know, I know he looked out for you early on, Anthony, when you were a kid just calling. And, you know, when I got here, I didn't know everybody in town. And, you know, he really, everything he did, speaking engagement-wise or radio show or a TV show opportunity, I would get a call from him and say, hey, I told him that, you know, I want to do this with you. You know, I want you to be involved in this if you can. And he never had to do any of that. And I really, really appreciate that.
Was there an opinion, I mean, you guys did so many things together, was there an opinion that you disagreed with the most? Do you remember any of the good arguments? Which one stood out?
Well, some of it was Indians related, because he was such a big baseball fan, you know, he took a lot of heat, not just from me, because I disagreed with some of the timing of our discussions on, you know, on baseball ownership in Cleveland and the fans and the attendance and all that stuff. But, you know, he was always an advocate for the fans, you know, not to put the onus on them to show up, you know, but that to him, this was always a good baseball town. You know, we didn't need to see, you know, see the attendance figures per se to know that. And so we just had lively discussion. I just remember people calling his show and, you know, claiming that he was a, you know, he was an apologist for the baseball, for the Dolan family and the owners and all that. And maybe to an extent, you know, he would make some excuses for them. But it was a sign of how much he loved baseball. I mean, he just really loved baseball. That was his favorite sport. And just couldn't wait for spring training to start every year. And just could talk to no end about what was, you know, what the Indians needed to do and what the outfield, you know, he was always incensed over the last few years that the, you know, the outfield looked like the, what he called it, the 4A outfield, you know, with minor league guys that weren't really big leaguers yet. So he had a lot of passion for it. You know, my wife and I went to dinner with him and Allison a few years back. And, you know, we were just sitting there talking, and I said something like, the word retirement came up, you know, and I said, boy, when I retire, you know, I'm going to play golf, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I said, how about you, Les? And he said, I never thought about it. And I was like, come on, man. And he's like, no, I'm serious. I've never given it a second thought. I'm not even going to do that. And so, you know, I'm trying to keep that in mind too, that he was a month ago, he was doing his show, you know, and that's the way he would have wanted to do it.
But I know it's tough, and I know the emotions are still raw and still new. We can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing the stories with us, buddy. All the best.
All right, guys. It's always good to talk to you, too, and wish it was different circumstances.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bud. We appreciate it, man. That helps. It really does. Thank you.
Bud Shaw joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Another Cleveland legend joining us right now on North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome in John Telich. And, John, I was just thinking about how many of the Greater Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame ceremonies that Les had emceed. And he was so good. He always would throw so much humor. He would basically have it memorized, have the whole room. Place would be packed over at Landerhaven. And he was the vice president of the Greater Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame. And he was a big part of, you know, what a great tradition that was over there on the east side, welcoming in all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life that having to do with sports. And JT, I know Les meant so much to you.
He really did. And you know something, guys, you were talking about the Sports Hall of Fame. The most recent ceremony that we had was in 2019. Obviously, we didn't have anything, last year because of COVID. And Les, as you all know, his health was failing. He was dealing with the Parkinson's that had come out and was a public thing. And yet we wanted to be so respectful to Les's abilities up there on stage and kind of they brokered a kind of a way that I could help out Les with these duties. And I felt so honored and so feeling the weight of the gravitas, as it were, of trying to uphold the tradition of something that was so sacred and treasured for Les to be up there on stage and to give it the proper weight and importance. And I so can remember his last time on stage there. He was up there with Urban Meyer, one of the legends, obviously, in Northeast Ohio sports, and conducting the usual great interview with him like he did with all the individuals who were inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I just thought it was just a wonderful moment, and how he came to me afterwards and said, JT, thank you so much. You did a wonderful job. I'm really happy with it. And that made me feel so good to get the blessings, if you will, of someone like Les Levine. We've known each other for so many years. And I thought whatever he talked, whenever it was about whatever subject it may have been, there was such a great deal of importance to what he said, but yet you always knew that he had that slight bit of reverence, the sharp wit that he had. I'll forever remember being a friend of Les Levine's, being a colleague in the sports media alongside him, and sharing the same kind of love for Cleveland sports that Les did. He truly was one of a kind.
John Telich joining us on the show. For you guys, being the people who are the storytellers and being the reporters of so many big things that happened in Cleveland, the Browns in 95, the Indians in 95, the Indians in 2016, the Cavs in 2016, what moments were biggest for you where you remember Les from and talking about those sports moments in Cleveland?
Guys, I'm going to go back to 1986 when he was doing play-by-play for Cleveland State, and they beat the Indiana Hoosiers, which was one of the biggest upsets of that year, if not in recent years, in the NCAA tournament. And he was the play-by-play voice of the Vikings. And so I was around the team a lot. I was in Syracuse. I was there for that moment. But it was the voice of Les Levine that kind of brokered that incredible news to Greater Cleveland, if you're listening on the radio. He was so versatile, guys. I mean, he could do a tough interview. He could slide in an irreverent joke in the middle of it and still hold the attention of whoever he was interviewing. He could, obviously, just when he did his radio show, you know, the wit he taught you guys in a generation or two generations of young broadcasters how to do it the right way. And I heard you guys earlier this morning. So true. A lot of what you do and bits and pieces of what has shaped you as broadcasters is it's the DNA of Les Levine.
JT, I always laugh too whenever he'd be out and he would tell people that, well, he might have had an interview. There might have been a West Coast venture, a lucrative West Coast venture that he was looking into. But he was a guy that did have the opportunity. He had confided with me plenty of times. He had the opportunity to leave and go other places. And he just never thought it made sense. He had carved out such a niche here, and he was somebody that also was on the air, but behind the scenes could talk to the local businesses and was able to really sustain his show and at times radio stations based on his sales acumen. He knew all the big wigs in town, all the corporate people that made a difference in this town. He always had that connection, which was so rare for somebody on the air like that.
Yeah, I was just about to bring up the whole business side of things and how he kind of carved out his own little niche there, if you will, by being able to sell the time. And I'm not sure exactly how the arrangement works, but it's worked well for Les for all these years. So because he could do that or did that, he really was his own man. He did things the way that he thought that they should be done. He did his shows that way, his interviews the way that he felt should be done. But because, as you mentioned, he had those opportunities elsewhere and wanted to stay here, you can have a phenomenal career covering Cleveland sports. It's sometimes the wackiest landscape that there is. And there is Les Levine right on top of it all, presiding over conversations with the newsmakers and with the athletes and just having that unique Cleveland view on those things. And that's really what I will treasure a lot about that former Brush High School arc that Les Levine was.
Of course, he would talk about his legendary antics. This he would do the this moment in Les Levine history where he would laugh about how, you know, he'd play with Steve Stone, and he would say, you know, the two of them combined for, you know, two Cy Young awards, and it was always great. Always had such a great sense of humor. JT, I appreciate it, man. Really, really does mean a lot, and means a lot to the family and everybody that has known Les over the years. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys, and deepest condolences to his family.
All right, JT, thank you very much. So one member of the tag team from Fox 8 to another, Tony Rizzo. Tony, I welcome you to the show, and I appreciate it. I know it's kind of bizarre that we do this. We try to compete, but then when a moment like this happens, we have to do it and pay tribute to somebody like Les. But what always stuck out to me was that you would come on the show or come on 1420 WHK when I start calling shows, and you'd be on right before Les. Your two shows could not sound more different. I always thought that was so interesting, but when you guys would do crosstalk, it would be the most riveting radio that anybody could ever hear.
Well, first up, guys, let me offer my condolences to Les's family. I mean, oh my God, I knew his kids when they were little, for God's sakes, going to college. What year was that, Anthony? And I know it must be a tough day for you, Anthony. I know what a mentor Les was to you, and what were we talking, 92, 93? When did you start calling?
Yeah, it had to be 93, 94, around that time.
Yeah. Yeah, so they, listen to this. So this group buys WMMS, WMJI, and it kind of as a throw-in, they threw in the 1420 WHK. And the guys that were in charge came to us and said, hey, we're thinking about making this a sports station. And we're like, it was a brand new genre. I mean, the only people doing it really well were Mike and the Mad Dog in New York. And you know, I actually had some tapes and would listen to them. We kind of didn't even know what to expect or what we were doing. They said, look, just don't lose the license. That's all you got to do. Because MJI and MMS were making so much money. Well, it was the opportunity of a lifetime. And Les was a mentor to me, too. You know, he was a little older than me. And Les's sense of humor is something that I always took with me from those days forward. You know, sports talk is sports talk, and numbers are great, and stats and all that. But Les just had this great sense of humor. He always would do puns, you know, the how come quickies. He was just a legendary guy. And you know, even when I left WHK, he couldn't have been nicer to me. I feel so bad today. It's an awful day for me. It really is. I was very close to Les back in the 90s. We stayed in touch, and I'll tell you, we had some great times, boy. Les and I got to ride out the Bill Must Go. And if you guys don't know what the Bill Must Go is, Belichick got rid of Cozart. I don't care if he won a playoff game at 94 or not. Fans wanted him the hell out of here. Gone. Out. Greatest coach of all time. He wasn't at that point. But we were the ones that kind of drove that bus And I took the stand of sticking up for Belichick, and Les took the stand to try and run him out of town. And not run him out of town, but, you know, the fans didn't like him. It sounds crazy right now. Guy that wins a playoff game, can you imagine Stefanski winning a playoff game and they didn't like him? That's how much everybody loved Bernie. We got to ride that. We got to ride the Tribe, man, in 95. That was one of the greatest teams of all time. And just the memories from going down to then Jacobs Field, packed house every night, how many sellouts. It was a magical time for Cleveland sports. There was no internet. There were no phones. You had to listen to us to get information. You had to watch Fox 8 and listen to sports talk radio. And those days are long, long gone. I feel very fortunate to have worked with Les during that time period. I did.
You know, Riz, it's so weird because, you know, I've always looked at you as, obviously, you know sports, you're an entertainer. And when you say it basically starts there, like, yeah, the city had Pete Franklin, but that's a show on a talk station. When you guys are really learning the medium or creating the medium, what was that like between bouncing ideas off yourself and off of Les at that time?
Well, we always had a ton of ideas. That was, we wanted to be different. You know, we wanted to be innovative, and that a lot of that came from Les. And it was to a point where we would throw some stuff against the wall, and some of it would work, and some of it wouldn't. Some of it we'd never get away with on the air today, and I'm not going to get into that. This is the family show. But we really had fun. It was kind of like a David Letterman type, you know, late night talk show feel. That was the feeling there. That was the kind of the show that we had. And Les had so many built-in bits. I was on from 12 to 3, and then he would go from 3 to 6 or 7. And it was a lot of fun. But we did come up with a lot of things that are still kind of used today. You know, some stuff, and I can't get into specifics or remember exactly what. But I guarantee you there's stuff that we all do today that we started doing back in the early 90s. Could you imagine, guys, 1993, I was doing sports talk. It's 2021. We're still doing it. Listen, Les had a great career. I always say anybody in our business, you last 5 years for a job, you deserve an award because it's such a crazy business. And I'm going to miss him. I really am. I know everybody's going to miss him. I just feel for his family. But we'll remember Les after today and after the morning. You know, I'll remember him as, A great broadcaster, and B, an even better person.
And I just think of the connection that somebody like Les had with the listeners, which was so beautiful. I mean, people going up to places like Hooters. I remember my aunt taking me up there, my kid going to Hooters, you know, to watch a radio show. A bunch of old men doing a radio show. I can't even think of something like it. We wouldn't be allowed to do half of the stuff that, you know, you and your old friends, Dore George, down in the flats, and all the antics you guys were up to. And then singing Carbon, Ohio. You know, that was one of the cool things. Les even continued as recently as a few years ago on those Thanksgiving shows. He'd always volunteer to fill in on the holidays and right before the Michigan game. He'd have the callers call up and they'd all sing Carbon, Ohio. You know, things like that were just so cool and so different to me.
It is. And, you know, we should remember Les and celebrate Les because that's what he would want. I knew him well enough to know he wouldn't want anybody throwing a pity party for him passing. Of course, we'll mourn for a couple of days here, but I'm going to try and figure something out that I could do maybe on my show to remember him, maybe once a day or once a week, just because he was that influential in all of our careers. Tony, Anthony, you wouldn't even, I mean, I don't even think you would be doing what you were doing if it wasn't for
Les. There's no chance. No chance.
No chance. I agree. Spokane, sports boy Tony. Sports boy Tony. And the other callers were outraged that we would let a child, you know, because they thought it was, you know. And back then it was calls, calls, calls. And then they had something called the fax machine. You know, we started getting faxes. But Les was famous for that, for theater of the mind, which is really, really what good radio and good broadcasting is all about. And we thought, for a while there, I didn't think Sports Boy Tony was real until we met him, until your aunt took you to Hooters and we found out you were real. And boy, you made a career out of it, Anthony. I'm very proud of you. You've done a great job. And Ken, you too. Love working with you on the Browns Radio Network. And today is a day to remember and to celebrate Les and his life and his great career.
Absolutely, Riz. We appreciate it. I know it's kind of bizarre to come together at a time like this, but
no, it's not. Know. No, this is about people. This isn't about you. This is we're all in this together. Yeah, we compete. I understand that, and you know, I think we both do a great job. You guys, congratulations on the Barrett Media Awards thing. You guys were ranked, I think, number one.
Who pays attention to that kind of thing?
I know. I don't, Tony. I don't either. Others do on our station. We'll leave it at that. But, yeah, it's fun, guys. It's fun to be on with you. Too bad we can't talk a little Baker. Maybe some other time.
We're hoping.
Thanks, Riz. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, hang in there, guys. Hang in there, Anthony.
All right, buddy. It is Tony Rizzo. I'm sure he'll have plenty to say later today as well. Boy, it's a tough one today. And we got everybody coming out of the woodwork. A lot of people want to be involved today, Kenny. And obviously, we'll open up the phone lines. 216-578-0092. I guess we're not talking Ty Lue and his return and whether or not they should have had a video last night.
No, we can bring that up tomorrow some other day.
We had good topics. I swear to God, we had really good sports topics today that were just going to divide the city. Can you imagine that? The Belichick must go. I had a whole cassette. I'm telling you, if I find it on YouTube, I'll put it out there today. I put an entire catalog of old Les Levine bits and old WHK bits that I had that I think Matt Derry had sent to me at one point. And I talked to Matt today. Matt was somebody you heard us do a show together recently, and Matt's having a tough time because his dad was obviously so close with Les and very, very close family connections. But back on the hotline, North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Les would understand getting the sponsors in for sure. We go to Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, obviously a tough day for everybody.
Oh my gosh, you guys. This is going to be a hard show for me to get through. So I'm just going to warn you about that right off the top. I mean, Les was such a good friend, such an icon here, so important to so many of us in the business. And I will never forget that way, way back when I was just starting out here in Cleveland, in this business, in my hometown, he was so welcoming to me, and he was just so kind. And that just remained throughout all of these years. And I was just so happy to do the show with him every week because it was just really a labor of love for me. He was truly just a great friend, and my heart is so heavy today.
Mary Kay, if we have to end early, we have to end early. I understand because, I know it's a tough thing to talk about today. Can you share some of the memories that you've had in covering sports and with Les Levine being there with you?
Well, one of the things that we always laughed about with Les was the fact that, I mean, he would always hold the coach's feet to the fire on clock management. And he and I used to talk about that. We used to laugh. I used to tell him that, they needed to hire him as the clock management guy. And it was just always so funny to sit in the press conferences with him and have him question the coaches on that, because he was always right. And he always knew exactly what should have happened in the 2-minute drill or whatever at the end of a game. And we laughed about all that kind of stuff in terms of he recently asked me, he wanted me to find out, what do they warn you about at the 2-minute warning? I mean, he was just so funny that way. And he reminded me so much, just the corny jokes and the puns were just exactly so much like my dad, even though he really wasn't old enough to be my dad. But he was sort of, kind of at the tail end of that era. And it just reminded me so much of my dad, those silly puns. I loved those. And he just kept everything light and funny. And let me tell you this. I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to thank him on the air recently when I was doing a segment of More Sports and Les Levine with him. And I didn't know it may have been my last show with him. I have to find out from the Bacons if it was the last show that I did with Les. But we started talking about, I think he may have been thanking me for possibly covering up for some of his little foibles towards the end, which he thought were foibles, which really weren't.
People wouldn't even be able to know.
Yeah.
Nobody would have noticed. Nobody would have noticed. And he just was such a perfectionist, and he cared so much about his craft that he worried that perhaps he was messing up on the air, and he wasn't. And I got the opportunity to thank him on the air, and this just means so much to me that I got to do this, not knowing again that it was my last show with him, perhaps. And I thanked him for being so kind to me all the way back when not everybody, you know, was ready for a woman to be in sports in Cleveland. I mean, just not everybody was ready for that. And I understood that. I tried to kind of tread lightly in the beginning and sort of know where I was supposed to, you know, speak or not. You know what I mean? It was a tough entrance in some cases, but not with him. Not with him. He was a gentleman. He was kind. He was welcoming. He had me on his shows right from the start, and he just treated me like I was just, you know, like one of the other sports writers in town. And I got a chance to thank him for that on the air and how much that meant to me. And then we talked off the air about all of that. And he went on and on about, you know, I'm sorry if I'm making a mistake here. I'm like, you are not. I marveled at how he got through his last couple of years of shows, and you never would have known. And he was still funny, and he was graceful, and he was smart, and he was on top of everything. And I mean, he is so loved and so missed here in Cleveland that I feel lost today.
Wow, Mary Kay. I mean, I'm blown away by your sentiments on a day like today. And I just think about how much it mattered to him. He had a way. Some people, let's be honest, some shows, they don't like to have others kind of overtake them on the air. Like they want to be the experts. They don't want anybody else. But yet he was so kind, from Hal Leibovitz to Terry Pluto to Bill Livingston to having you on over the years to Grossi. He was never worried about getting outshined by someone else. And I always thought that was a mark of someone very confident and somebody who was very comfortable in their own skin.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And he, so many of us in the business will tell you that he did whatever he could to help us, promote us, you know, take us under his wing. I mean, there's so many people that feel like that. I mean, I saw Dennis, you know, Maniloff. Well, actually, we had a little bit of a text thread going, some of us who dearly, deeply loved Les, and we were keeping up with how he was doing recently. And you know, Dennis mentioned that, you know, how Les was like a second father to him. And he truly was. I mean, that's just the man that he was. And, you know, I got to know him also on a bit of a personal level. I would see him at gymnastics meet. My two daughters were gymnastics in high school, and his granddaughter was. And we would see each other at a bunch of the meets. And, you know, so it was just kind of fun to connect with him in that way. And then also my husband became friends with Les over the years. And they also bonded over torn quads. You know, I mean, that was a really horrible thing that Les went through. That was to tear two quads at the same time. I mean, that is devastating. And he had to deal with that. And just like now, what he's been going through the past couple of years, he never complained. Oh, my goodness. He never complained. We all watched him have to completely learn how to walk again. And that took a tremendous, tremendous toll on his body. But did he ever complain? Never. I mean, he got through that like he was an athlete coming back to play his sport again. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch that. And it was especially incredible to watch him battle through Parkinson's and go on that show and put on that brave face and do his How Come Quickies and still keep you laughing. I mean, we were still laughing all the way, you know, right up to the end of the shows when you knew that he was, you know, suffering in a lot of ways.
Mary Kay, that stuff was great. He would also joke that his golf game got better after he tore both quads. And he might have been right. I appreciate it, Mary Kay. That means a lot. I know his family is checking in, as are people all over the country who've obviously Les has left that kind of a mark on all of them. So I appreciate it, and thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Mary Kay Cabot. On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well,
more people.
Yeah.
More people coming up. Getting everybody's tributes in today. Because this is a big day. It's a big morning. Sad morning. But I hopefully Les is enjoying it today. Hopefully Les is hearing it, because it meant a lot of things to a lot of people, a lot of great things to a lot of people. And so, going through those stories and hearing those stories, I think it's really, really nice this morning, Tone. I hope you feel the same way. 216-578-0092, and I know you do, bud. Coming up next, I believe we will have Jimmy Hanlon, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? We should have Jimmy Hanlon here? Okay, so we'll have Jimmy Hanlon on. We'll talk about his memories of the great Les Levine, and we'll continue to take your calls throughout the morning. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan. And we go to another one of those people who have very fond memories of Les Levine. We welcome in Terry Pluto, who joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Terry, thanks for joining us this morning, even though it being on a sad occasion, my friend.
Yeah, I had heard a few weeks ago, I had talked to his wife, and I could tell that Les was in pretty bad shape. And so I'm sad. I was just thinking about, 74, maybe when you're 65, 74 doesn't seem that old.
I didn't even know, in typical Les fashion, he would not tell us his age.
No.
We'd asked a couple times, and he would not tell us his age. He's, how old do I look? Well, then I'll let you say that. That's fine. And he would just kind of laugh and walk off. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it just got to the point, I was like, oh, there's no point asking him because he's never going to tell me.
No,
so today's the first day I ever found out how old Les actually was.
Yeah. I knew he was right around that age because my brother's 75, and they played. Les was actually a pretty good baseball player, and he would joke about that. They went out at Ohio State and got cut, but he played on a number of good amateur teams, and I think it was Tal Beveridge and some of these others that way back when. And my brother played at the same era, so I knew they were right around the same age, and so that was a. It was a neat thing. It was just so fun to see how he kept reinventing himself in this business and was sort of a little out ahead of everything, but, now there's all this sports talk on TV, but I suppose someone did it before Les, but I don't know who. He was doing it, and remember the sports writers on TV, got a bunch of guys smoking cigars. That was it, out of Chicago. And I don't know. It's just... I'm glad he was able to work right up to about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he went down talking, which is how we want it to be.
Terry, he always spread the wealth. If you were new in town, he'd put you on the air.
I just wrote that. I'm working on a column, and I'm so glad you mentioned that it wasn't just me. This is the early '80s. And I can't remember exactly when, but it's he and actually the other one who was very nice to me was Pete Franklin way back when. And, they're kind of, the two different voices of sports there. And Les continued to be that way, that he sort of would welcome you into the inner circle. And I don't mean that in being a club, but just when you're new in any business, as you just mentioned, how he put you on the air. He talked to you like he talked to anybody else, like he talked to a fan, And he's always Les. Did you notice that? That's what his name is. Everybody knows him by the first name. I love that part, too.
He would always joke. He said more sports than Les Levine was the show that he applied for, and he got the gig.
Got the job. Yeah.
Oh, which was very
and
cool.
It's a classic pun there, too.
Yeah.
In fact, for a while there, our shtick was whatever pun he did, I just stared at him like it was the dumbest thing in the world ever said, And he'd go, what, you don't like that one? He would do another one, until finally I'd laugh. But I like that part of him. He loved the callers. And the other thing that I really respected about him, and, he was very close with Hal Lebowitz, the old Cleveland Plain Dealer sports columnist and later News Herald, is even though as they got older, they both stayed current. By that I meant, you didn't get into, nobody's been any good since 1902 or, Chris Speaker or something. They they would really, and Les was, I think Les picked this up from Hal, and I'm something I want to keep from Hal too, is that, but guess what? There are a lot of good athletes and coaches around right now, and time didn't stop whenever, you know, you were sort of maybe in your prime or what. And Les, you know, I mean, like a month ago on the phone we were talking because we were trying to work out a date for me to come on, and we ended up doing like 15 minutes on the Browns at that point, you know, and he was just so into it. It's heartbreaking because Les had a lot of good miles left on those tires. You know, he really did. It's just a shame that the Parkinson's and diabetes got them together. It was a real deadly combination.
You know, I always loved the fact, Terry, that not only would you hear him on the radio, see him on TV, you'd see him at a press conference. It still meant a lot for him to hold leadership accountable. Mm-hmm. Over the years, but then he also was a season ticket holder.
Yeah, he was. And he rarely attacked people personally. You know, it was attack the action. That's one of my things, too. You know, attack the action. You know, this person, not everybody's an idiot and a bozo and all that stuff. And when Les would do those truth and reason things, he'd write those things in like 15 minutes. People think I write fast. That guy was unbelievable. I'd walk in there to do the show, and it's like we'd go on at like 6 o'clock, and I'd walk in at 5:40, and he just started it, and I'd watch him at 10 to 6, he'd have it done. And then he'd go read it once he's off. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wait, when he was practicing his ad-libs?
Yes. Well, in the beginning, he would have truth and reason to start the show.
Yeah.
You know, and he would actually read it off a teleprompter, but he would write that. Then he'd throw in a couple of ad-libs as he was going. But he would write, you know, a good 500-600 words on the Indians trade or something, and he'd write it in 15 minutes. It was phenomenal for me to see. And his memory of games and sports way exceeded mine because he loved it so much. One thing I am happy about, that he was able to continue working, you know, right almost up until the end, because it meant so much to him.
Terry, we were doing Zoom shows. He would call me up, and he'd be watching me on my webcam at home, and I'm like, who would ever thunk it that back in the day when I'm watching him and Hal Lebovitz, right, that now here we are all these years later doing a Zoom television show, and that it was getting widely viewed around the country. That was what was so impressive to me.
Mm-hmm. And he was willing to try stuff with the new technology. And I could tell you, as an old grump that I could be about technology, that's hard. That really is. But it's a tribute to him. He was a survivor. And by the way, nobody read commercials. Sokolowski's, you know, all those things that he would have. Nature Stone and his various... He was the master of... You know, he went out and sold those commercials. And he'd write them. And then he'd read them. He and I and Eric Mangini were on a show once, and afterwards Mangini goes, I've never seen anybody do commercials as well as you, Les.
Oh.
And they both started laughing. But it was amazing to watch him do it. And then I was telling Mangini later how Les actually went out and sold those and wrote the spots.
Terry, I hate that we have to go, but you and I both know he sold more hamburgers over 20 years than Ray Kroc on that show.
He sold a lot of stuff. Yes, he did. So it's I have tears in my eyes as I'm talking to you about it. But I'm so glad you mentioned how he would welcome the younger ones in, because all of us are insecure when we first start out.
Yeah, Terry, I can't thank you enough for coming on. We'll be looking forward to the column. All the best to you, and hopefully we'll be having a happier conversation, even though we are having some really fond memories, but
yeah,
we'll be having some happier conversations.
And that's how Les would want it, too, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey,
you're right.
More sports, Les Levine, or at least more of us talking about Les talking about sports.
The nexus of the universe.
Terry, thank you very much, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got Jimmy Hanlon coming on. We'll get to your guys' calls. We're going to take a couple of calls before we get to Jimmy. 216-578-0092. Taking your memories of the great Les Levine. It's coming up. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman, live on the Fan.
Jimmy Hanlon, who knew Les obviously very well, and it obviously sucked for Les the last few years. He just wasn't able to golf as much as he used to, because nobody enjoyed a free round of golf like Les Levine over the years. I got a chance to golf with him a few times. Jimmy, welcome to the show, and just a tough day. Tough day for everybody.
Yeah, it is, Anthony, for sure. It was one of those things you wake up and you get the news in the morning, and it just is a complete downer. And it's so funny you just said that, because that's exactly what I was going to say, was that, you know, Les, I've known Les for you know, 20 plus years, and he always would be like, man, you know, what can I do for you? You know, I just really hate, you know, taking this golf for free, but I'll take it though. Don't get me wrong, I'm not turning it down. You know, that was Les's always his line for me, and he always had his regular foursome, and you know, Mr. Derry and Bud Shaw, you know, and they would come out and they would play, and Les just really could never figure out like why he never got better, right? It just drove him crazy. Like, why can't I get better at this game? And then obviously he had his injury with his quad, and his game got a little bit worse at that point. And he just couldn't hit it. He just couldn't hit it as far as he wanted to. And it was just funny to just listen to him talk about it. But, you know, I know you guys were tight, and I know with being there at 92.3, and Ken and him became close. And it's really cool what you guys are doing today, because Les was touched a lot of lives in a lot of different ways, and he really did mine, you know, a lot. And honestly, he, you know, guys, he kind of just like, I don't want to say he forced it on me, but he kind of just walked in one day, and Les and I were a lot alike, right? Like, there's not a lot of guys, and I've talked with you guys about this in the sports, you know, Cleveland sports market, or even in sports marketing, that, you know, we had to sell ourselves, right? We have our own shows, and part of our deals with our stations, or what we do, is we go out and we sell ourselves. And we talked a lot about that. You know, he had his McDonald's deal and all his deals that he did with his different companies, and how he kept that going throughout the years. And he would call me and give me advice and tell me, listen, I think you need to call this guy, and you need to treat it this way, and this is how you need to treat somebody and follow up with them. And he really, really helped me throughout my career, and he was a big part of you know, my success and what I've been able to do. And I never, you know, outside of some free golf, he never asked for anything from me. He just liked to talk about it, and it was, you know, again, Les and I didn't, you know, publicly went out a lot and doing a lot of things together, but he really affected, you know, my career and my life, and really asked nothing for it. It was pretty cool.
Jimmy Hanlon, join us on the hotline. You know, what we were talking about is how everybody from all walks of life were kind of invited to be a part of his on-air persona. And that over the years, I mean, anybody would get to town, he'd put them on the air. I saw, you know, Haynes over there, who's now national and on ESPN. He was even tweeting about Les today, how when he came to town, Les put him on the air. You know, that was something that was very important to him. I remember Fred McLeod, when Fred McLeod had just gotten the Cavs play-by-play job, he put him right on because he was like, man, he's following Reg Eye, and he wanted to make sure that people, you know, warmed up to somebody new, because Clevelanders don't always do that. And I always thought that was really cool that Les would do something like that.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Anthony. And, you know, and Fred and Les were a lot alike, right? Like, they were two guys that you know, for me, the same thing. Fred did the same thing for me. Like, he always just kind of like had advice, and he knew I was a little younger, and he always wanted to just like try to give you their two cents and what they've been through. So, and I know that's what he did for you too, right? I mean, he's been through it. So he's going to tell you what happened to him and how things affected him, to hopefully make it a little easier on you moving forward, and how you could do it maybe either a little differently or do it the same, because he was so successful in some things that he did. And it was just great, right? I mean, that was a relationship that I had with him. And I tweeted it out earlier, like, you know, I'd look at my cell phone and it would be Les, and I'd pretty much any time stop what I was doing and try to answer. And I just like would start laughing before I even talked to him, you know, because he was going to have a one liner ready for me when I answered the phone. It wasn't going to be, hey, Jimmy, what's up? It was going to be a one liner. It was going to be something to try to make me laugh. And I knew it was coming. And that was just kind of one thing that made him special. And he's just it's a great loss. And, you know, I feel for his family. And I got to know his son a little bit through golf and just, you know, through our dealings in the IX Center and stuff. You know, I feel bad for you guys, because I know how close you were to him too. And, you know, we talked about it on our show, Links to the Game. And when you did it with you and Ken did it with me and Jason, and how important he was in your career. And I think you said he was probably the most influential person in your career on the show that day. And it's you know, it's a tough loss for everybody, but he's to be celebrated because he was a great human being and great for Cleveland for sure.
I want you to be honest with us here now. Jimmy Hanlon joining us on the show. Somebody somewhere told me that he was good at golf, and I think he just left it go. Like, okay, Ken thinks I'm good at golf. Because we had Bud on earlier today, and he said he was famous for these terribly bad shots. Now, I know he was a pretty good baseball player in his younger days. How good of a golfer was Les, or was he just letting that permeate that, yeah, Ken thinks I'm a good golfer, and I'm not going to let anybody think differently about it?
I read an article one time, and I sent it to him, right? And it said something about Les loved golf and something else. I forget what it was. And he's good at both. That was what the article read, right? So I sent it back to him and I said, you wrote this article, didn't you? Because I've never actually heard anybody say you were good at golf that played with you before. So I know that nobody wrote this article except for you, right?
Jimmy, I just loved how we do these media outings that you would put together. It was always such a great event for all of us to kind of, oh, hey, there you are, Bruce, and you know everybody, and you'd go see him. And then he would come up to me and he would go, are you noticing what, I don't want to say which station it was. You know, you want to know, notice where they're teeing off? They're not golfing from the right place. He goes, if anybody should be cheating, it should be me. Yeah. And I always got the biggest kick out of that.
But he would sign up for the Media Ryder Cup every year. And his first line would go, you know, we have no chance, you know, but you know, we're going to put this team together. He would get Bud and some different, you know, it was always Bud on his team. And Bud is good, right? So poor Bud and had to be pulled down by Les's team at the Media Ryder Cup every year. But, yeah, he was, you're right. He was just one of those guys that he just, and he hated it, right? Like that was the thing about Les is, like, and listen, you know, good at golf is, it depends on who you're comparing it to, right? I mean, you know, You could compare it to a lot of different people. Les could definitely hit the ball, and Les definitely he could make pars, right? Like he could definitely play the game a little bit. But Bud's right, like he would just like I would walk over to number 9 at Little Mountain when they were coming in just to go talk to him and say hi, and he would like be in a bunker, and he'd like double or triple hit the ball out of the bunker. Like he didn't like to hit shots in front of me. And when I would walk up, he would just hit the most awful golf shots, right?
Sound familiar, Kenny?
yeah, it actually does. I didn't share much in common with Les. I'm glad I share that in common with Les. That's fantastic. I'm glad I got that. I just got to start. I got to start telling people I'm actually good at golf and having some people actually believe it. So I got my work cut out for me there.
Well, listen. You know what you need to do? You need to go to that Links to the Game show that you probably haven't watched yet, and clip out that part 3. That you actually beat me and just play it over and over again. Cause I can tell you Les never beat me on a hole before. I can promise you that.
See,
so, Jimmy, Lima has let everybody know how much of a duff accident that shot was and how bad it really was. He let the cat out of the bag, like the first second, like, when it aired first on Christmas Eve. Yeah. And I know what I look like. I look like blue Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. Lima's watched it. I know everybody else has. I won't. Liz has actually watched it. I won't even watch it. But, I wish I could. I still, if you want to say Les was bad at golf, okay, if he's there, then I'm about 30 steps behind. So I got a lot of work to get under my belt here to get going.
Yeah, you're all right, man. You just keep working at it. And you did not hit the worst shot of the day that day. The worst shot of the day came as the first shot of the day when Jason hit that shot. Like everybody just looked up in the air, and I still don't even know if we even know where that ball went, the first shot of the day.
This is completely missing.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate you calling in, man.
You got it, guys. And I know it's going to be a tough day, but, you know, try to get through it and celebrate what Les did for all of
us.
Absolutely. Just a wonderful person. Thanks, folks. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is. Jimmy Hanlon somehow welcomed us on his TV show. We got to get to this. This is a name, a blast from the past, but certainly anybody who's listened to Les over the years, especially his TV show, would know who the provoker is.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is truly a sad day. When I got up this morning and read the news, and the one thing that is the common theme that you guys have all brought out is what a great guy Les was. You know, he early on, when I would call, understood what my motives were, and that was, hence the nickname, trying to get a rise out of people when they weren't expecting it. And I think for the most part, Les understood, and I think that's why he actually gave me free rein to call in whenever I did. I appreciated that. And, you know, one particular moment in time when I had a health problem in 2015, I had open heart surgery. I called in and told him I wouldn't be calling in for a while. And I, you know, to this day, I think he wasn't sure if I was serious or not. But then when I hadn't called in and then subsequently called in several months later, he asked how I was doing. And, you know, there was a genuine concern on Les's part for my personal situation. And I'll always remember that.
That's very cool, man. Provoker, I hope you didn't provoke your surgeon.
Good to talk to you, man.
You seem to make it on the other side. We appreciate calling in, man.
Thank you.
It's good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, this is the thing. So when Les was doing his show locally for so many years, and then Spectrum picked it up, Spectrum was going through this weird transition. So they're like, all right, well, Les is taking up an hour of the day. Let's just put it all over the state. And so next thing you know, people from all over the region start calling his show. And like they're learning about Les Levine, this quirky guy from Cleveland. And Les started doing more of a statewide show. He wouldn't just talk about Cleveland. I always thought that was really cool that Les was ready to entertain everybody. Didn't matter who.
Yeah, there's just so much that we can say. We got 40 minutes left in the show, but it really means a lot to hear Jimmy. It means a lot to hear the Provoker call in, man. It really, really does. It's a really nice thing to see everybody sharing their memories of Les. This is fantastic, Tom.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.